Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent On, London edition on LA Talk Radio. Everybody who listens to us for almost probably 9 years right now knows that every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time, Accent On and your host Ilona Europa is here and bringing to our studio the coolest people ever. And of course, this is this day today. I am so, so happy because I feel like I'm part of the family, and people who know us again and listen to us know you very, very well. Today, beautiful interview with the most gorgeous Hollywood family of Provost. So we have Queen, we have King, and we have two beautiful children. Please introduce yourself to us. Let's start from Mama.
Dzień dobry, Gosia Probosz. Hello, welcome everyone. I don't identify as a queen, but
yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, she does. Yes,
but
she
as
does.
A dictator, for sure.
I like it even more. So we have Mama, we have Daddy, if we can be so personal, Marek, hi.
The King Marek Provost is here, welcome everyone, and this is my queen. Very often they call me Jester. I'm rather Jester than the King, you know, because I like to make fun of the King. Yes. And that's the best way to live, to be able to tell the King what you think, really. So I like to make jokes, and humor is my king and my queen and my royal children. Children is my royal court. And
so princess and prince, of course.
Absolutely.
So our beautiful, let's do this kingdom because I really like, let's talk to your beautiful princess. Your name is?
My name's Valentina. It's a pleasure to be on the show again. It's been a while. I can't believe it's been so many years since we were all together. What's that?
I think it was 2016 because you were still studying, and we'll be talking about that. Obviously, you didn't change a bit, I think. You are so, so beautiful, so beautiful.
Thank you.
And I am just the biggest fan of all your family. And now we have Prince. Okay, Vincent.
The baby of the family. It's been on the show a few times for those who watch, of course, but it's been almost a year and a half, I think, now, Ilona, right?
Yes.
Since we
started
the show back in LA.
So much changed in your life, in all of our lives. So I don't even know where to start. But I think first and foremost, for people who do not know us well, I would like maybe Marek Probosz to talk about all the success stories, all little journeys or big journeys from, especially for you, Marek, from leaving Poland as an actor, already accomplished actor, and then somehow, somewhere moving to Hollywood and become one of the most known Polish American actor and lots of more, because of course you are also directing. Yes, you are a writer. You are doing multi-stage productions. So I can read your bio, which people can read on Facebook anyway, because I will post all of our bios. But I think it needs to come from your mouth. So let's start from Marek Probosz. Marek, can you give us like fast forward your journey from Poland to America? And today that we are here right now and seeing you so content with the most beautiful family that you have. So you have both worlds, perfect world as a family and very successful life as an actor. And would you tell us?
I'll start maybe from the journey, because life is about the journey, right? And my journey started very early in my life. I was playing at 6, a jester, in Princess and the Pea, in Christian Andersen's fairy tale, in the theater in Żory, in Silesia, in Poland. And I have a feeling that since I put that costume of a jester on, it stayed with me forever. So that's really my favorite character. You know, and then I read, of course, Shakespeare and King Lear and his jester and many other fantastic Stańczyk, Polish jester, you know, and very many more stories about that character. And I think that this is, jester is a guy who will never stop searching for truth, searching for the meaning of life, searching for happiness, confronting, provoking the truth. And that's what happened with me. I just became this very curious character. So one role brought me to another role. Out of curiosity, I started to play different characters, because every different character, different project is different life, different conflict, story, romance, whatever it brings, whatever the story brings, the story must be interesting enough to grab my attention and then the audience attention. So of course I was climbing the ladder in Poland, started later with reciting poetry, won the national contest in poetry. Then I was started to direct little plays. I had my own theater troupe in Poland. We won some awards, won very early in my life, actually certificate to be the professional director under the communist regime at age 18. That was even before I started to study. And then sports came to my life. I'm very competitive type, which is very needed when you compete in show business and any business in
that's
life.
Amazing connection to your sons.
Yes.
Right now. So yeah. I hope people will be very excited to hear about his career as a footballer, you know.
So I loved soccer myself, and I was a very good striker, but cycling came into the picture, and I jumped from the soccer field to the saddle and to the bicycle, and I started to race, and I became 5 times a champion of Silesia, which was a big, as you remember, it was...
Yep.
Many parts of Poland, which now is separate states, but at that time it was one state. So that was a promising career in cycling. But then I realized one night, overnight, I had this illumination that that's not enough for me. That sport per se and cycling is not enough. That I see those competitors at the start, at the finish, I don't see them anymore. They are behind me. And my task in life is to move forward. So I went back to art, because art is the only lie which tells the truth. And that truth more was my passion. I rediscovered my passion again. And pretty soon I started to act in films. I was in theater first. It's interesting because I was in the puppet theater for 1 year in Benzin in Poland. Then I was in Krakow in a theater working under stage. Then I was passing one exam to Krakow Academy, second exam to the Krakow Academy, third exam to Wrocław Academy, and finally I made it to the Łódź Polish Film School, National Polish Film School in Łódź, which I just ran through in 3 years. I actually graduated a year ahead of time, A+, with everything I was doing, and I was hired by Kazimierz Dejmek, the Minister of Culture, the best theater in Poland at that time, Theater Polski, where all the stars of Poland were. There was a repertoire in which I was supposed to perform. Martial law stopped it.
Yeah.
I started to work in Czechoslovakia in big movies, which won awards in Cannes Film Festival, San Sebastian, Karlovy Vary Film Festival. Career was skyrocketing in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, in East Germany. And actually, when I played finally this big part in Poland, starring with Elżbieta Krzyżewska, Polish, Zbyszek Cybulski and Skirt, as they were calling her, and I played the child of Cybulski to Polish legends of cinema, Cebulski and Krzyżewska. Even before the premiere, I got an invitation to come to United States for 3 weeks from West Germany, where I was working on a movie. I was invited by American Cinematheque to come for 3 weeks for the panels of independent and studio filmmakers. And I came and I decided to stay because I came to the country when there was freedom, where there was freedom of speech. I enjoyed being anonymous for a while. I had the translator who was translating what I thought. I lived in the Roosevelt Hotel on the Hollywood Boulevard, and it was a completely different life at that time. It was 1987. I was 28 years old.
Oh.
So it was a huge moment in the journey to make that shift. I was in the repertoire in Poland. I was supposed to direct another play in Czechoslovakia, direct an opera, play Mozart in the movie. And you had to make a decision which way to go in your journey, go against the storm or just drift with the water, which was known for me and in a way easy for me because I was doing it for years successfully.
And so you were 20 years old, so making decision that really directs your life, you know, and like you said, you are all about going forward. So, but yes. Still, like you said, what a choice you needed to make. You left behind something that was already working. I know we had this moment in time in Poland that everything stopped. We needed anyway to rethink what the life will be in our country like, especially for artists. You know, I also couldn't sing. We had no right for like 2-3 years practically doing concerts or just moving around with our talents. I was a singer in Poland. So I made my own decision too. But in age of 20, I was much older. This is like really, you were probably alone thinking that's my time.
It was a huge decision, which I knew that this is one-way ticket, that I'm going to pay all the consequences for my decision. Yet I decided to stay free instead of coming back to the comfort and my career.
I make a stop you, because I always am looking a little bit at your son, who just looks like a mirror of you, and he is doing very similar decisions for many, many years. This young boy, I met him, I think, when he was 16 years old. You know, right now you are 20.
Yeah, 20.
You are 20, but when we will learn about your journey and your daddy's journey, it's just very similar. How you take your life further and further, and really on your own, because you are living right now in Poland, daddy and mommy in Los Angeles. Your sister is also in Los Angeles, Valentina, but also you are living separately. So I am in London. So we all are somewhere else, and we all are just doing life independently. But you are, again, very young boy, and you moved from country. Oh, I have my great dog who decides to walk. So if people hear her walking back and forth, hopefully nobody minds. But yeah, you are living life in few countries by yourself. So this is very impressive, and we'll go back to you. So yes, Marek, if you can go back to this moment before I will maybe talk a little bit to Mama, to Gosia, because Gosia, when she came to your life, her life and your life intertwine in amazing, amazing way. So I always say that the happy relationship and successful life, to have wife who really, really can not only be supporting you as a husband emotionally and in any way, you had this beautiful children that you need to take care of. So in age of 28, you decided that that's the place.
To stay. I decided to stay. I decided, I got an offer to play Mozart in Prague, to direct Metamorphosis by Franz Josef Kafka in Prague. I was supposed to play Konrad in Warsaw. I was playing one actor show with Tomasz Stańko, the famous, Eastern European Miles Davis, trumpeter, jazz player, successfully in Poland, and I had a tour scheduled to go with that show around Poland and Czechoslovakia, and I stopped it all. I stopped it all because there are things that we cannot explain. And the thing I didn't know was that I'm going to meet my queen, my love, and that I'm going to fall in love from the first sight. And that is a true love. And out of that true love, I'll have those two beautiful offsprings over there, my fantastic children. And I do believe very strongly that in life, family is the most important thing. The rest are challenges that we go through. But I had a fantastic career in Eastern Europe. I didn't have my own family. And that didn't even cross my mind. I was too busy. I was nonstop on the posters, on the meetings, on the locations in different hotels, different countries. There was no time for relationship per se. And for family, forget it. I was too busy to think even about it, right? So
you were how old you were when you met Małgorzata? When
I was 30 years old. 30. So 2 years later.
I know the love story. I know the story behind how both of you met. But I think we need to repeat. Maybe, Gosiu, you tell us. Because I know that Marek, he just fell in love instantly with you. And you have your own journey also to the moment that you both met. Uh-huh. So could you give us your version of your life to this point, to the time when you both met? And of course, a little bit later, we have this beautiful two gorgeous children, so smart and so successful. I'm so proud of them also as a mother. You know, it's just the bestest things ever to see them flourish so much. So Gosia, yeah. You met Marek when and how?
I met Marek here in LA. I was 28 and Marek was 30, as he said. So did you want to hear how I came here or did you want to hear about our...
I would like to know your journey from, of course, from Poland to America too, because there are two different lives. And, you know, when somebody hopefully one day will do a movie about you and maybe even Marek already is writing, both of you, all of you can write. But this is like amazing life story, story of generations, story of success, story of history. Of course, in our country, what was going on now with the COVID, I know we all are in a very, very unusual way, but you have your own journey, Gosia. And eventually this journey intertwined and love brought you together, but you still are doing a great job, you know, raising your family, plus doing business on the side. So please, can you tell us that, your story?
I left Poland quite early. I finished high school and the first opportunity I got to leave, I did. I went with a friend to live in Sweden. And shortly after I left, martial law was imposed. So naturally, there was no going back for me. I did not want to live under communism and oppression and not be able to have any form of freedom. It was heartbreaking because I was very young and very attached to my mom. And it was very difficult to be away.
Are you from in Poland?
And from Gdynia. So we are from two opposite sides of
Silesia.
Yes, amazing. I'm from the mountains, I'm from the seaside. So in normal life, there would be probably no way of our paths crossing if we didn't leave Poland, because Marek would be in a completely different world than my world, and you know, not just geographically, but in all other aspects. So I guess it was meant to be that I left early and went to live somewhere else and had to survive, had to learn the language, or many languages, actually.
Okay, tell us that, because it's
right.
Moms in your family that all of you have this talent for languages. And
I have no idea.
So please, I know that, Marek, you speak Czech. You speak probably,
Russian, English, of course, Slovak, learning some Spanish. So yeah, that would be it.
So Gosia, you, of course, speak
Swedish, Russian, English, Spanish, some Italian, some, I understand German. I understand mostly everything after a little bit of exposure. It's easy for me to learn it.
Okay, Vincent.
English, Polish, Portuguese, Spanish. I understand Italian as well. Once you learn the core of quite a few different languages, it's very easy to pick up and get around. Honestly,
it's not so easy. You need to work on that. I remember when you were learning Portuguese, you were just beginning, and then I know that you're fluent in this language. So something is amazing that mommy and daddy gave all of you and themselves too, that you have this talent. I'm not omitting Valentinka. You also speak probably another languages. I don't know. I hope.
I do. Yeah. I speak, Polish, English, Spanish, and Portuguese a little bit. And I began to learn Greek when I worked there briefly in Greece. And I love the language. It's very difficult, but I have a long, long list of all the languages I want to learn.
So I hope every Polish person who watches and listens to our interview really, really is so proud of this family. This is like a royal family in Hollywood. Honestly, I always saw you like very, very special family. I don't see any family similar to this family of Probosz. So not only the beauty is there, the talent is there, the smart, and and we'll be talking about sport. We were talking about legal and great education. It's so impressive. So I want everybody, not only Polish people, but whole world to be proud of you. So yes, continue, Gosia. So you came to America when you were 28, yes?
Yes, but first, my first country was Sweden, where I learned the languages, where I was hoping to stay for a while. And I was really set on staying, but the divine will was different. It said, you need to go. Okay, so then I lived in Austria for a little while. And I wasn't sure what's going to happen to me. I was thinking Australia. Okay, let's go to Australia. This sounds fantastic. New world, new life, fantastic idea in my head. But again, the divine will said, no, that's not for you. And I ended up in the United States. So now looking from perspective, I know exactly why I came here. And the first port of entry, or actually the first place where I went to live, was Portland, Oregon. And that wasn't also in the divine plan. So it said, no, you can't stay here. We're going to rain for 9 months really heavily to make you miserable. So the first opportunity you get to see the sun and palm trees, you're going to fall in love with them. So of course I came to Los Angeles and decided to make it my home. And few years fast forward, I met.
But where?
In Los Angeles.
But how?
Cute story about this video, this, commercial. So who wants to say? So who wants to tell us the story?
Well, the story is we don't know each other at all, right? And we live separate lives. And somebody comes to me and tells me on Sunset Boulevard, there's a casting for the commercial, light beer commercial. And somebody got this idea that people are going to drink that light beer during Polish weddings. So they are looking for Slavic types, actors to cast. I said, no, absolutely no, because I'm a serious, classically trained actor. I'm not going to be in a commercial at that time in Poland. We had no commercials. So those said, this is grace to be in a commercial in my head. So I said, no way, I'm not going to go. But a friend of mine said, hey, listen, the king of pop music, Michael Jackson, just finished the commercial for Pepsi Cola. And he doesn't have to do it, yet he does it. It's part of life. This is Hollywood. Go and try yourself. So I went and I got the role. Now you say your story.
You stole Marek and you knew that's why you moved from Poland through Sweden to Austria, maybe, God forbid, in Australia. Now you met him, yes?
That's right. I'm not an actress, so this was also very strange, unusual thing for me to end up on the set of a commercial. But again, it was meant to be. So when I was cast as the lead in the commercial and Marek was cast as my, I was the bride and he was groom. Quite amazing, right?
Yeah. So beautiful.
Downtown LA, beautiful hotel.
Yeah. Destiny.
Yeah. I have my daughter with me. She's just so happy listening to this. She's young, like your children, of course, whole private life is in front of her. But, you know, this type of magical meetings give us a hope that some, you know, unusual power exist that really bring people together for the greatness. Because how many years later you had Valentine when she was born?
Eight years later.
Eight years.
We met in 1989. So, you know, 8 years later she was born. So
and Valentine, obviously you are the older one, one in the family. Can you a little bit tell us about your life story? And so we are all in the same level. I think we need to do part two of our interview because I know that the 40 or 45 minutes is not enough to say everything. So to not ask everybody, I need to move a little bit to Valentina. So tell us a little bit of your life, who you are right now, and how do you see yourself being a part of this amazing creative couple that your parents are, and what they gave it to you that you become who you are right now?
Well, you know, I think one of the most amazing things in life, one of the biggest miracles is, you know, being brought into the world in general, but also by two incredible people who've had such a difficult journey, you know, and just created something that very few people can come out on the other side and create something beautiful and, you know, find each other as well. So I did not plan on being born or being born into this family, but I was given this gift. And so even, you know, while I start my own journey now as an adult, I have to kind of think about, you know, what is it that I want to do with my life? What direction do I want to take? And I don't know exactly yet, you know, I don't have a set path like my brother. I'm sure he'll talk about it, but, you know, I admire him greatly. He and my dad have this really strong calling and I'm still searching for my calling. But I think one of the best things about my life right now, apart from, you know, starting a career in law, which is great, I'm not sure if I want to continue that. But I think one of the best parts about my life now is after 4 years, I get to come back to Los Angeles and be around my parents. And especially I've kind of rekindled this, you know, relationship. I have what we call a Socratic school with my dad every week, once a week. And we talk about, you know, life. We talk about all the things that have changed since, you know, I was a little kid and I had such a hard time in school and I was very shy and bullied and, you know, but that came when I was maybe, you know, starting school because I was super confident up until that point. And when I began school, you know, I was just destroyed by the other children. It was very difficult. And when I was in, you know, high school, I just decided that's it. You know, I want to live a different life once I go to college. So once I got into Berkeley, UC Berkeley, I decided to find my way. I decided that having no friends and being solo is better than having bad friends. And I really put in a lot of work in college to change who I was. And I really, you know, I think I grew a lot over the 4 years, but it's a very lonely path to walk. And I gained one best friend. I gained one best friend and she's my best friend for life, you know, and like my sister. But we're very different. I think I found who I was individually. And during college, I also went to, you know, to Greece for 1 year. Or I'm sorry, for not for 1 year, for one summer. And I taught English there. And I also had this individual time where I just was away from my family, away from my friends. I wasn't in school and I had to discover, you know, I was teaching children English in a village, mountain village in Greece. So my path has been very, you know, strange and has had a lot of twists and turns. And I think I've changed a lot as a human being, But the most beautiful part about the journey so far is just making that complete loop, you know, that cycle, and coming back to my parents after, you know, leaving when I was a kid, going through all of these really difficult things, and then coming back in the end feeling like a different person with my own, you know, foundation, my own strength, and remembering, bringing myself back to all these things that I was given when, you know, I was a kid before I went off to school or before I met other children, and just remembering that, you know, that core of where I came from, my home, the love that I was raised with, all these wonderful values that I was raised with. It's such a nice feeling to come back to that and get to experience that one more time.
So now you know how really successful you are because obviously and finishing Berkeley, and now you are working for as a paralegal. Yes.
Yes.
And I know you have also in the past some nice artistic success stories. So I promise we'll be having second show with all of us.
Okay.
I need to naturally pass my microphone to Vincent to tell us your story.
Well, it's been quite a journey. I'll be honest with you. It's not a problem for 8 minutes because you wouldn't believe, nobody believes my story, I'll be honest, because it's such a crazy one. So I'm very used to having to give it in a quick fashion. But I'll start at the beginning. Obviously, I was born, I'm 20 years old now. So started at the beginning of this amazing 2000 year. In January, I was supposed to be a New Year's baby, but unfortunately I wanted to stay another 3 days in the womb. So I came in and just was absolutely in love with the family that I was delivered to. I looked at my mom, my dad, my sisters, and I couldn't have a bigger smile on my face. I was so happy to have come and to have joined them, and to now 20 years later be sitting here and still be joined with all of you. But let's get to it. So ever since I was really small, obviously the fire within my dad has always passed on to his one and only son. That competition, that drive, always in school with him on the field or wherever it was always fueled and burning. So ever since I was little, it was obvious. I always had to be the best. You know, I always had to be the smartest, the fastest. I always had to win everything. And as you can see, my dad nodding. It's just that drive, that character that we have in the family. And when I was young, I really discovered that soccer is that thing that I just love. I cannot live without it. We all sitting here have something in our hearts that even if it's not the career we pursue, it's something that we just cannot live without. And that's for me soccer, among other things, but as a career path. And so I've always dedicated myself very much to it. When I was 14, I had a terrifying accident on my bicycle coming home from soccer training, actually. Just my mom actually came to the scene as one of the first responders, getting a phone call from one of the people who saw it. And she thought I actually died. You know, it was horrifying. But fast forwarding, I had to stop going to school temporarily because of my injuries, and I just wasn't able to do high school the normal way. I was in my freshman year, just getting started when it happened. So what we ended up doing was we took me out of normal school because I started doing an online, half online, half in-person type of homeschooling called independent study. And I absolutely loved it. And I ended up finishing 4-year high school in 2 years. So very similar to my dad finishing university in 3 years instead of 4, I went down the same path, and I just decided, you know what, I don't want to spend my time going through the same system, the same just route that everybody else is. You know, they don't see a different path. They all think inside this small box, and I just wanted to break the chains and get out of that box and follow my own life, my own career. You know, just like my dad said, instead of all the comfort, living in LA, you know, having my friends, going to school, partying, whatever it was, I just decided, you know, I don't want that. I love when I'm uncomfortable. I don't like to be comfortable. So what did I do? I decided to pack my bags. My parents gave me their blessing, and I moved to Brazil. So I started playing in Brazil when I was 17, just before I was 17, actually. So I spent 3 years in Brazil. I went there, did not know the language, not a single word. I didn't know anybody there. I just went to follow my dreams. That was the plan we made. And I went, I signed with a team there. I ended up playing for three different teams there throughout the 3 years that I was there. Learned the language fluently, made amazing friends, met incredible people, and really broke through from this 16-year-old, you know, blonde, blue-eyed, only white kid in the team to making it to the professional level, you know, signing my first professional contract and really breaking through in what my career is now shaping up to be.
It's amazing. 3 years, you said. So why you left Brazil?
Well, as amazing as it was to go to Brazil, it was also amazing to leave Brazil. The person I was when I first got there, really just going as a kid, you know, I would have been going into my junior year in high school when I went to Brazil. Already got my high school degree, you know, done with, and just purely focused on my career at 16, you know, 17, 18, 19, really just shaped me up to become who I am now. And I like to think that I left Brazil as more of a man than a kid. And it was just that moment where I felt like I learned everything I needed to learn. I met the people I needed to meet. I achieved what I always wanted to do in Brazil, which was take that step from being just, you know, nobody, just a young kid who's playing soccer, you know, to signing my first professional contract and being somebody, you know, being part of the professional world and having that first just evidence of fulfilling your dream, fulfilling your career. So once we did that, once we had that in the bag, I just decided with my dad, you know what, it's time. I always dreamed of playing in Europe. My biggest dream actually is to play in England. I've always dreamt about it since I was a kid. But we decided, you know what, we need to take the first step. I never played in Europe before, only for the national team briefly earlier of Poland. But we decided, you know what, Poland's going to be the perfect place for me to start back building my way in Europe. I've already played 16 years in the USA. Played 3 years in Brazil. Now it's time to start in Europe. So our first step in that journey, we decided was Poland. So we had a few clubs looking at me and after everything was done last summer, so a year ago, in July, I ended up signing for Polo Beskidzie, which is Pierwsza Liga. So it's the first league here in Poland. They just got promoted to the Ekstraklasa, which is the premiership here in Poland. So very good team, you know, great facilities, great place. And we ended up signing a contract here. And now actually, just as quick as I came to Poland, I decided yet again that it's time for me to take another new step. I had a tough year. I had a really bad injury, 8 months. I was completely out. I tore half of my quad on my right leg and just really discovered some new things within me. I'm somebody who always really was just a normal person. Now I'm a raw vegan. I'm a certified nutritionist as well. I'm studying online, you know, going through psychology, philosophy, business, just doing really a lot of things as well off the pitch. And now taking the next step in soccer, we're looking at Scandinavia and actually Great Britain. So within the next week, actually, by the next time I'll probably be on the show, I'll be somewhere else already. And so nothing is certain yet, but very good things are looking at me right now from Great Britain and from Scandinavia. So we'll see where I end up.
Oh, we are sending you the bestest vibes ever and wish you good luck, because your dreams are coming through, but you're also chasing them the most beautiful way. And outside of being in sport, you also are developing your mind and trying to think probably to the future, because you will be a businessman also. So, you know, I see this parallel. You already are setting yourself up to some type of business probably that you can represent and obviously could be the perfect model for it. So yes, and I'm again reminding everybody who is listening or watching to our show that we'll be having part two with a whole family again, and I just cannot wait. So for right now, I'm going back to Marek. Marek, now we know you met your wife, you have a beautiful babies, but your career start growing and growing. So not only you are directing, you are having amazing, in a way, luck being a part of great movies in America too. You are doing so, so much, and also you are raising your beautiful family with your beautiful wife. So I don't want to rush. We have so much to talk about in part two of our interview. So I hope people will be very excited to hear. But if you can tell us how your life went.
You never give up, never surrender. Of course, there are challenges, challenges, challenges. One of the biggest challenges for an actor is accent. You don't speak the language. So to lose the accent is impossible. So of course, the auditions are very limited for you, and to get a job, professional job, to become the member of the Screen Actors Guild, which is like Vincent's professional contract, that you become professional American actor from the union and you can work for the biggest film studios and productions, is so hard. But luck, yes, of course you need luck, but you have to work so hard for this luck to happen. I always say that coincidences don't happen, you earn them. And so working, plugging in, trying, believing, struggling, waking up, storming the castle every single day, brought me to my first job. It was a Hollywood show called How to Survive in Hollywood, perfect title for me at that time. And I played the Eastern European, and that job in this TV series gave me the SAG card. So of course, after that, I got a little bit of money, but I was able to get an agent. And now agent was able to help me, to send me out to auditions. And pretty soon I started to get jobs. I'm a professional actor, camera loves me, as you can see. So pretty soon I got a job number 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I started to work with great Academy Award winners. There was a huge meeting with Warren Beatty, the legendary Hollywood producer, actor, Academy Award winner, and his now wife, Annette Bening. It was a huge remake of Love Affair. Affair to Remember was a classic with Deborah Kerr and Cary Grant, and I was in the remake with Katharine Hepburn, with many, many amazing actors, including Warren Beatty and Annette Bening. But this job, one job brings you to another job, of course. And I worked in a theater with Academy Award actors on stage. I started to write. I'm a writer as well. Actually, it's so interesting that Vincent called me about 2 days ago and he said, "Dad, I just finished reading your book. Isn't that amazing that I wrote the book? When I wrote it, I didn't know I'm writing it for my son. And now my son is reading my book." So I realized I have to write another book for my son to read. And that's the same with the career. You have to reinvent, write another story, another story, another story, so people can follow, people can go on a journey with you, can be enlightened by your work, inspired by your work.
But I'm looking at your wife, because all of this success story really could happen and can happen because she took care of so much, took off your shoulder, the family, life. Anytime when you needed to work hard, learn your role, or go away from home, she had her two beautiful children to raise, and look at how beautifully they are raised. So Gosia, isn't it easy to be wife of Marek?
No. For many, many reasons.
That's beautiful.
Marek is a creative force. He is a tornado.
Volcano, too.
Volcano, tornado. temperament. He has he's like Italian.
Stallion.
Very hard to keep tame, you know, and one should never tame a crazy artist. So life with an artist in general, probably everyone can attest to that, whether wife of a painter, a sculptor, a writer, is difficult. You have to know how to live with a person that is a creative force. But holding up the fort while he's gone, that's another story. Of course, you know, there were times when Marek would be gone for a month up to 4 months. Wow. And I was at home with two little children. And as you know, we are a family away from a support system in Poland. So here in LA, virtually alone, on our own. So it wasn't easy, but it was amazing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, the time we've had together as a family, the time that
even I was never Marek really was away. I was physically away, but never.
Yeah, the presence is so strong. You know, people ask me questions like, aren't you afraid he'll find another woman? You know, aren't you jealous when he is kissing another girl in the film? I go, why? He's never given me a reason. Or one it's second.
Great woman. You are a great, beautiful woman. I know he found love of his life. So you both are blessed. And I love that you said that it's just not easy to be wife of the great actor or artist. You are managing this beautifully. It's almost you are like a manager of his feelings and
of life.
Ups and downs of his life. And obviously we have two beautiful children who also needed to support daddy whenever he is gone and longing for him whenever he was gone and being nervous for him whenever he needed to go to for another audition, because it's not only ego and whatever we want to achieve as an artist, it's also you wish your father the best, you know, you see him going up and down and failing, which I know how beautiful is this is the lesson for both of you. And I think because of what mama and daddy is talking about right now, you both understand that life is a wave, is a journey, and life is the future for both of us, like the part number two for our show, which I hope everybody will be tuning in, because we have and I have so many questions. Not only we want to know Marek's career and how developed and all these great movies and names of the big actors and whatever you are developing as your solo career, art career. I want to also know a little bit more about fun situation that Vincent had. And when he was playing, we skipped the situation about you recouping after the big accident in age of 14, because now you're athlete. So how did you do that? And then going back to beautiful Valentina, you are an artist. You have your really success story as an artist. So we need to know that too. We want to know. It's time in life now. So this family really knows how to live life in the most beautiful, beautiful way. And I'm so proud of being Polish and being part of your friend's zone. And I cannot wait to invite everybody to Accent On London edition. Next, second part of our interview. So we will be taping probably next week, but hopefully next Monday we'll be talking some more. So for today, I just love you so much all for giving me this time and letting people know you more, better privately, which that's so very special. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Everyone.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.